Okay. So we thought we'd be in our own tent today, but we're back at Providence Church. So thank you, Providence Church, right, for letting us be here. We have a few different things for you this year, and we're going to do a few different formats. And one of those formats is going to be more of a podcast. And I'm going to put that in quotes because this is experimental. So have grace with us, and we'll see how it goes. We were joking that your first kid's the guinea pig, so we were going to say you're the guinea pig, but I guess we really are the guinea pig.
I'm feeling like the guinea pig.
So we're going to see how this goes. It's exciting to try something new, and we'll see how it goes today. So today we have Shannon Munoz. I have to put my glasses on because I realized I cannot see my notes as I was looking down. So sorry, got to put my old lady glasses on. So today we have the privilege of chatting with Shannon Munoz. Shannon just joined Moms by Grace this year and as a mentor mom, and she's spoken a couple of times. And you can go, if you don't know, you can go to the church app and find all the old messages, and you can find hers on there. Shannon, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, starting with who you're married to, how long the ministries you're in?
My name's Shannon. I am married to Manny Munoz. Probably many of you know him better than me, or know his face better than mine. He's there early setting up, and he's parking you, probably helping you find a parking space every Sunday. We've been married 31 years. We have two wonderful kiddos. Our son is 30, Chase, and our daughter, who's here today in the corner, Jamie and my son-in-law Tyler, and they are making me a grandma, and I'm super excited. And we are I'm part of the biblical counseling ministry, and I'm super excited for this year, though, because this is the first year that I am doing Moms by Grace. I've been wanting to do it for years, and the Lord has opened up an opportunity for that this year. And also, we are doing, this is a shameless plug, Tani Kari, they do young families. We're going to start a young married. So if you're pregnant, you're welcome with one only, like none, pregnant only, just first baby. You're welcome. If you have more than that, you got to go to Rooted. But we are starting a new ministry. It's called Hitched, which we thought was fun and sassy. And we're looking forward to it. It's going to be super fun. So if you are married, if you know somebody who's newly married, please send them our way. If you're pregnant, no kiddos yet, or under one, you are welcome. We'd love to have you. We're super excited. That's getting started in October. So this is a season for me of getting to pour into young women, and I am super excited.
Yeah. If you know Manny and Shannon there.
Shannon and Manny.
You know, they're hip and fun, so go join them. Shannon, we're very thankful to have you here today. You know what? I'm going to start with prayer.
Oh, thank you. I was supposed to feel better by now, just talking. I'm not. Pray for me.
Yeah, let's start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can be at this church. We're so thankful that we can just meet together without the fear of anyone coming and disrupting it, Lord. We know that you have been gracious that we can meet together in this country, Lord. So we thank you for that. I thank you for all these young moms that are here. I just pray that you would be with Shannon and I this morning, and that we would share your words, Lord, and that you would be honored and glorified as we talk, and that we would make sure that you are the one who is elevated, Lord. So we thank you and praise you, and in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so Shannon, this year our theme is thinking biblically in an upside down culture. So what's your view of this statement? Do you think that we live in an upside down or backward culture?
Absolutely. I would say we most definitely do. I think, but right, lady, there's nothing new under the sun. So this isn't new to like think about the Corinthians, or even if you've spent any time in the Old Testament, right? The Corinthian church is a great example too. But what I think is different for us that we have to, that we're working through right now, is the United States was founded on Christian foundations, principles, I would say, right? We've been blessed. We've been a very spoiled nation for a very long time. Thankful that our nation has allowed the Lord God to be. We are one nation under God. But what we are seeing lately is the Lord God is being pushed out. And we're seeing the effects of it. And I think what's hard for us is it's new, right? Like, it's new to us that this is happening. But I would say it's good. I would say it's good for us.
Why would you say
it's good? That sounds terrible, right?
Yeah. Why would you say it's good?
I would say it's good just because right now, like my mom, when I think about my mom, she wasn't saved. She was super moral, like very moral. Like, and that's what she kind of hung her hat on. She only just barely kissed boys, you know, and that was like the girls that did more than that were terrible. Like that was horrible, you know? And so there was no separation. Like you couldn't tell. It's almost like the church belt, like the Bible belt, right, of Texas. There's not a separation. Here in California, there is a separation, right, between Christians and non-Christians. I think that keeps us on our toes. We can be extremely complacent and apathetic, and we too can stand on our morals instead of Christ. Now, I do believe that we are called to be salt and light in this world. And it also has caused a lot of trials in our lives with what we're going through.
Which we're going to talk about later.
Yeah. So I got to be careful. But the way those look is our government, right? We're up against our government. Schools, your kiddos in the schools. I think there's people in here that are homeschooling that never thought they would. And there's in the workplace, I work, your husbands are at work, some of you also. And so in the workplace, it affects us relationally with people outside of our little bubble of FBC. It affects us. Those are good things. Those aren't bad. Those are good for us. It challenges, it keeps us more dependent on the Lord, right? It forces, we need Christ. We can't hang our hat on morals anymore because they don't exist. Right?
Yeah, that's true. Good. Elizabeth Elliot said, we can't really tell how crooked our thinking is until we line it up with the straight edge of scripture. If we believe the statement to be true, then being in the word consistently is essential. So can you give us some basic reasons why the spiritual discipline of being in the word is so important? What is the importance of being in the word?
I'm really hoping this morning that Don and I are clear and concise because this is new. So I hope we can get through this. We're going to just hit a couple of points of why it's important to be in the Word. And I would say the first is we need to know God. The Word of God is where we learn who God is. And we need to know God. A.W. Tozer has a very famous quote. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Really, it is determinative of how we live and how we know who God is determines how we live, right? It affects us. There are some, we must, now I'm going to get out of order here. We must know God as it determines how we live, right? In 1 Peter 2:21, right? 1 Peter 2:21, it talks about walk as I walk. Christ, it's Paul's talking and he says, Christ is our example. Walk as he walks. If we don't know God, how do we know how to walk? Right? Like we don't know how to walk. There's the communicable, how do we say this word? Can you help me?
The ones that we can't be like.
So there's two types of the attributes of God. There is the kind that we emulate, right? We're to grow more like Christ. And then there's the kind that we can't. They make him separate than we are. So I would say walking like Christ as an example, right? He is kind. He is loving and patient. He's forgiving. Like, those are some of the attributes of God that we are to emulate like him. That's how we walk as he walked. Those are the ones that help us. What do those attributes of God do? They help us in our relationships, right? How do we love our husband? How do we love our kids? Like, we need that as an example to us. And then those attributes that we don't emulate, the ones that we can't, only God can, are super important to know and understand, because those are the ones that help us in situations. I was thinking deeply about this these last couple days. Like, what is the difference? And really, our life is a bunch of trials of relationships and circumstances, right? I would say relationally, know the attributes of God that you're to emulate. I would say situationally, know the attributes of God only he can emulate. Those ones of his, he is all powerful. He is all knowing. God is sovereign, right? What a comfort that gives us, that he's all powerful, all knowing. Those are the attributes of God we need to know deeply and drink in deeply in this upside down world. Right?
Yeah.
Really quick. She's going to cut me off.
Two books.
So I want this to be super, super practical for you ladies. This one, The Knowledge of the Holy. Super good. This could be used.
It is a really good book, but it's like you can only take little chunks at a time. So, which is good because it's, then you like are thinking about it and, you know. So.
Is it that?
It's pretty deep. I'm sorry. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed.
I mean, I'm not either. It must have been a while since I've read it. This is a good devotional with your time in the Word. So I think why these are helpful is because sometimes when we're reading the Bible, we don't recognize God's attributes, right? These help us to see those when we're coming across them in Scripture, right? So you're really going to love this one. Now, this one is deep. None greater.
I haven't read that one.
Oh my gosh. So this one, so Chris Mueller always has this great saying. He says, heresy comes from any time you're taking one of God's attributes and you're making it bigger than the others. That is where all what he has said, I haven't checked it, I'm trusting it. Any time heresies they're birthed from focusing on one attribute heavier than all others. This one tells you why that's important. This one literally goes from attribute into attribute into attribute. This one tells you how each of them are connected of his attributes and why it's important you cannot separate them. Super good read. It is heavy, but so good. I would start with The Knowledge of the Holy first.
Thank you. I just want you to know she totally went off script. I just want you to know that, okay? It's okay though, because now we're gonna get back to your next point.
You knew this was going to happen.
Oh, you should have seen us practicing. We'll be done at noon. No, I'm kidding.
Somebody take my mic away.
Next point. The gospel.
Yes, the gospel. We need to be in the Word not only to know God, but we need to be in the Word to remember the gospel. For you ladies here who have been at FBC, you understand what I mean by that. But I want to unpack that. Why is the gospel important, not just at salvation?
Well, we do.
I'm going off script again.
I know. We do hear all the time that preach the gospel to yourself, right? So how does that look like? What does that look like in your life, in your daily life?
So Galatians 2:20. That is my life verse. And I would say it explains exactly why we need to preach the gospel to ourselves every time. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I no longer live selfishly. That's what that's talking about, right? I'm no longer living for self. I'm living for Christ who lives in me. And this life that I now live in the flesh, this current life, this is what probably impacts me the most in this verse. This life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. That means Circumstances are going to come your way that you don't understand, you maybe don't like, but you live by faith. In who? In the Son of God. And this is my favorite, and I think I might have changed the words, but it just to make it personal. In the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. So in those times, this again, it's just like knowing God. The gospel every day being in front of you, you have it reminds you of who God is, that he loves you so much. He gave his Son for you. If he gave you his Son, what would he not, why would he withhold anything good from you, right? And need to stop being living selfishly. So the gospel in front of me every day reminds me to live this life for others, not myself, just like Christ did for me. The gospel every day reminds me to forgive, just like Christ did for me. The gospel reminds me I needed a savior because I, why?
Because you were a little sinner.
I'm the worst sinner.
We memorized that verse together.
Yeah, we did.
That we're the worst sinner.
Yeah. Yep. So that's why every day, ladies, and I have just a couple. Look, this is where I go off script. This is it. This is the only time. I'm not going off script anymore, I don't think. So some good ones.
I actually love this book. This is one of my favorite books. It explains all those words that you, like propitiation. What is propitiation? This book explains all those incredible words that we hear, those churchy words that we hear. It goes through them all. It's great.
And for us, And this book is the, and when I came to FBC, I didn't understand the gospel was for every day. And this was one of the first books we did at FBC.
It's called...
The
Gospel for Real Life by Jerry Bridges.
Gospel for Real Life.
Who is one of those dead authors that can't change his mind.
Amen. Gospel Primer, great devotional. Keeping the gospel before your eyes every morning. I would highly recommend this book, this devotional. I kind of can't do it all every day because I start not paying attention. But it's good to cycle it back into your mornings. This is by Milton Vincent. Okay, this is one of those authors that you just read this one maybe, and maybe a couple others.
Just don't read her current stuff. She has a lot of good oldies.
Because he loves me. So good. Elise Fitzpatrick. Yeah, super good.
All right. Thank you. Do you need help?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going on to point three, ladies.
All right. So we need the word.
C. I think it's C on your own.
We need the word to walk wisely. And how fitting is this point in this world we live in? Like, we need God's word to walk wisely in an upside down world, right? So Psalm 1, we love. How blessed is the man who, and I want you to think about the culture you live in right now. This was not written yesterday, but it's super fitting. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I love this Psalm. It's one I would recommend memorizing. It's the reason that we need the word. The word is what helps us walk wisely, and never probably in the history of the United States do we need it more than we do today. Because in this psalm it says, like, what is the contrast here? It says, blessed, right? Happy are you if you don't walk like these, with them, sitting with them, standing with them, right? Oh, there's a progression.
There is a progression. Yeah, we talked about that yesterday, that if you look at that psalm, that first they're just walking, and then they're all of a sudden sitting, or standing, sorry, then they stop and stand, and then they sit. Like, there's that progression of, oh, I'm just listening to this thing that's a little off, or I'm just watching this program that has a few little things in it, and then all of a sudden you're stopping, and, oh, I'm gonna watch the whole series, or, oh, I'm gonna listen to that whole thing, and then you're, before you know it, you're sitting in that, right? And so that psalm is just so good that, like, I turn it into a prayer a lot, like, Lord, where am I walking in the way of the wicked? Am I standing anywhere? Am I sitting anywhere? Like, help me to see that and to change that. So, yeah, which goes along with the next point, which is our thinking right.
Yeah, we need the word to keep us thinking rightly. Another favorite verse of mine is Romans 12:2. Talks about us not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of his word. We need to renew our minds daily, moment by moment, not even just daily, right? Like, we're coming up against things we've never seen before. You ladies are, I think about raising our kids today, and it's a very different world. There's a book I read, super good. It's called Anger Management. What's it called? Anger and Stress Management, God's Way. And it's by Wayne Mack. Super good book. It's not gospel centered so much. It's an extremely practical book, that I would highly recommend. So I've just exposed myself a little bit. I do struggle with managing anger and stress. Those go so hand in hand. After reading this book, I realized how much. But in that book, he talks about stirring up the good stuff. And he uses an illustration of orange juice, fresh squeezed.
I don't like the pulp. And my kids didn't like the pulp, but okay.
So it's the illustration good stuff. Fell on her. So it's like fresh squeezed orange juice. So you make orange juice, right? Squeeze it up. And you put it in the fridge for the next morning, and when you wake up, you've got to stir it up to get all the good stuff up, right? Before you pour it, or otherwise it's watered down and not good, except for Dawn. And so anyways, that stuck with me. Like, ladies, we got to stir up the good stuff. So we know the word. Many of us here have been under the word for a long time. The word is in us, but it settles to the bottom. And what comes out isn't good stuff. You got to stir it up every morning. And I love that thought. I'll probably forget it, but I do love it. I've sticked with me so far for a bit. But that's what we need every day. We need to be stirring that good stuff up. It's super important. How else are we going to live in this upside down world unless we're stirring up the good stuff? Because it's not around us, by all means. Not just morals around you in any way, right?
Yeah. And those of you who have babies and toddlers know that we're not born with it, so we have to put it in. So, speaking of that, we are surrounded by young moms, so how does the word affect our parenting?
One of my very favorite parenting verses is Deuteronomy 6:7. I actually love that whole passage in there. It says, you shall teach them the word diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. How can you do that? That is a command from the Lord, that we are supposed to be doing these things throughout the day if we haven't stirred up the good stuff, right? We need to be in the word, not just for the first 4 points we went through. Those are all for you, ladies. That's why you need to be in the word. Your husband needs you in the word. Your kids need you in the word. How can you go throughout the day talking about the Lord when you rise up, while you lie down, while you walk along the way, unless you are stirring up the good stuff in your heart so that it comes out?
We talked about what parenting really is. Being making a disciple. So do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, when we were talking, we were like, I said my favorite verse, which is just funny because there's not very many parenting verses in the Bible, right? But what is parenting, ladies? Thank you. Yeah.
Being a disciple, making disciples.
Making disciples, right? Mm-hmm. It's discipling. Can't forget that.
Which has the same root as discipline, mm-hmm. right? So when we're disciplining, we're making disciples. When we're
Which means training. if we're not disciplining,
we're not making disciples.
Yeah. I gotta stir up the good stuff.
Yeah, you have to discipline yourself first, right? Okay, well, I just want to address one little thing. Shannon, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy.
Donna and I were having a little too much fun with this one. I've loved this. This has been so fun. I've gotten to be with Dawn once a week for the last 6 weeks, and it's been the best.
Poor thing.
So we were laughing about this because isn't it true? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right? I mean, that's true. It's very true. But what are we expecting hubby and kiddos, our littles, to be? Well, that's really what happens, right? When they're, and that's what that saying comes from is, husbands wanting to make us happy, because when we're not happy, the whole house is a hot mess. But what should be making us happy? Are we looking for our husbands to give us that joy and to fulfill our needs? That's the selfish side, right? Or are we looking to Christ? And He's our joy. Like if we're spending daily with Him, that's where the joy comes from. That is another reasoning, right, of why we need Him every day. Because if ain't mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. But it's not because of how they're treating it. It's not circumstances. It should be from Christ daily being with Him. Yeah.
That's good. You also had said that we need the Word to help prepare us for trials. So, trials are hard. So why do we suffer trials?
Because God says they're good, which is hard. And ladies, I know we're spending a lot of time on the whys. I always think the why is what gets you out of bed, right? That's why we wanted to sit here for a while. And trials, in 1 Peter 1:6-7, it says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials." We all have different ones. Different varying of degrees. You have been distressed by various trials so that the proof of your faith, be more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So ladies, it's not a matter of if, right? It's a matter of when. And the hard part, the reality, if we're talking real, is they can be really hard sometimes. And God says they're good.
Why? Why are they good?
Well, in James and 1 Peter, it talks about they test us. They're refining, right? They produce endurance. We're actually supposed to count them joy, count them all joy. That's what James tells us, which that can be baffling sometimes, right? Yeah. And they're to purify us. And they're to bring God glory. And I love this one, which I think Dawn and I are both hoping that the Lord uses our trials to encourage other ladies, right? 2 Corinthians? I didn't quote it. I didn't have it. 2 Corinthians talks about that the Lord would, is it first or second? I'm looking at my women. Where the Lord is second, where the Lord, how He encourages us, and we also should encourage other women with the trials that He's allowed us to go through, with the comfort that He's given us, right?
That's the verse that says He's the God of all comforts.
That's the what? Mm-hmm.
That's the verse that says He's the God, yes, of all comforts.
Yeah. So
that's where that came from, if you don't know. That's where.
Yeah. 2 Corinthians 1:3-5.
Perfect. That's great. That's a great verse. I love that. So can you give us some examples of trials?
Well, in 1 Peter 1:6, it says various trials, right? So they're small ones and they're big ones. They are starting your day off with, let's start with the pandemic. Being on a mandatory lockdown, right? It's a trial for some more than others. For me, I know that was a big one. The weather, heat waves, those are the smaller ones. I know for me.
Your fan breaks. Your
fan runs out of charge during church on the quad. Feels kind of like a little trial when you have, heat wave or heat your own personal heat wave and you're in a heat wave. Like, that's not fun. Sick kiddos and illness, right? Relationships, those are big ones. Those can be big ones, right? A wayward child, that's heartbreaking. Postpartum depression, can we talk about that? Like, that's something people don't want to talk about because we're in church. We shouldn't have that. That's not true. Menopause, which I think is extremely similar to postpartum, and some of us have that worse than others. I know I had a really hard time with that. Anxiety, the loss of a loved one, a miscarriage. Like, these are all of varying degrees of hard, right? But God says they're all good and we need his word.
So how can consistent quiet times, or we both talked about, we don't really like that term quiet time, because for you young moms, your time in the word might not be a quiet time, So let's change it to our time with the Lord, how can being consistent in that help in major trials? Which I guess I'm taking this. Am I taking this? Okay. So we both listened to a sermon on suffering, which was so good. Actually, it was a series on suffering. And he talked about the rocks of theology. And I think about Jean's comment when Chris had his heart attack. And she said, if you can't live out your theology, then what good is it? And, if you don't know that theology, you can't run to it when things are really hard. So he called them the rocks of theology, and he used Romans 8. And if you go through Romans 8, there are like just nuggets of who we are. Like, I'm a daughter of the living God, right? The God who created the universe, I'm his daughter. I belong to him. He adopted me, which means that he chose me. I'm not just his daughter. He chose me, and he chose me when I was his enemy. Like, he pulled me out of being his enemy, right? I can run to him and I can cry, Abba, Father. And we also talked about the fact that some of you might not have had good earthly examples of fathers, and that's another reason to be in the word and know who your heavenly father is. Because if you didn't have a good earthly father, your heavenly father is one that you can run to and cling to. I brought my Kleenexes, but we're not gonna cry.
No. We have cried through this section if you
He also gives us his Holy Spirit, who bears witness that we belong to him, and we're heirs with Christ. Whatever Christ has, it's been given to me. One day, I'm not experiencing all that Christ has here on earth, but one day I am. And if I suffer with Christ, I'm also going to be glorified with Christ. I only wrote his initials. So I don't know the quote. Charles Spurgeon, sorry. I was like, he said, if the love of Christ cannot lift you from the dust, you've made too much of the world. And that comes like everything in the world is momentary. So we have to look at this world as momentary and cling to the truths of the word when things are get hard. So
trials, what majority of what Dawn just spoke is two things. It's knowing God and remembering the gospel. And I want to add to that, and that's what we hope this group here is for. We also need each other. McElroy, Mark did such a great job, Mark McElroy on Sunday. If you weren't there, I'd encourage you to listen to it. Super encouraging as far as we need one another. He talked about the redwood trees, the sequoias, and how their root system doesn't go deep. It goes wide, and the roots are like intertwining with one another and helping them be firmly planted. Sounds like Psalm 1, being firmly planted. We need each other. And I want to say that Dawn and I have gone through some major trials lately, and I was allowed to walk with her, and I'm so thankful. I didn't let anybody walk with me. And I would just encourage you, don't be ashamed and don't be quiet. We need each other and we need relationships and we need this church body. And this is a sweet ministry. You not only have your peers, but you have older women that you get to know. And also in Rooted is a great place to be. And if you're younger and have smaller, you just have a pregnant belly, you know, we're hoping that's going to be the same for Hitch. Build those relationships that are important to walk through hard things. That's great.
Okay, so we've made it pretty clear that we need to be in the Word consistently. Shannon, is there a biblical mandate for a specific time to be in the Word? Does it matter what time of day we spend with the Lord?
There is not a biblical mandate, but there are biblical models of early mornings. Jesus rose early to be with the Lord, to be with God. Jesus rose early to spend time with God, right? Mark 1:35. We look at the Proverbs 31 woman. She was the first one up and the last one to bed. I think for a lot of moms in here, that's probably the story of your life too, right? The psalmist directs his prayer to the Lord in the morning and then watches for the answer. And that is Psalm 5:3. So I want this time to be encouraging. So listen to me. Don't tune me out. Okay. Have y'all heard of the 5 a.m. club? Anyone? Have you? Yeah, because you're a little older.
Oh, not you.
That's a compliment. That's not a diss. But boy, why I say that is not rude. Was that rude? I did not mean to be rude.
Okay, you're not as old as her. And she's not as old as me. So, there you go.
So that whole, well, who wants to join it? The 5 a.m. club. If you're not already in it, who wants to join me in the 5 a.m. club? Yes. Yes. See, you already are. Okay. So there's a book called Shopping for Time. This is an oldie but a goodie. I feel like it's like nobody talks about this book. Maybe there's a reason. Is there a reason? Okay. Carolyn Mahaney and her daughters wrote this book. So in from it, there's a chapter on or a portion on the 5 a.m. club. The premise of this book is shopping, right? We shop diligently for good deals. And this book really just talks about shopping for time and making, so it's really based on, I don't know if she would say this, but what I gathered when I was reading it is it's based on Ephesians 5:15-16. She does quote that in the book. And that is, so then be careful how you walk. How are we doing on time? Okay. So then be careful how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Days are evil. Really evil right now, right? And so shopping for time is talking about like our days, we only have so many minutes in the day, right? How can, where the 5 a.m. club came is, how can we shop for more time? Getting up early helps you shop for more time because we all have very busy schedules, right? And so I would say it's could be helpful for some of you to shop for more time. And that might be the only place you can find it, right? Doesn't have to be 5 a.m. It depends on your schedule, your family, and what kind of life your life looks like. It's going to look different than mine, obviously. I am an empty nester. I don't have, but I work full time. Sometimes more than full time. You want me to evaluate? Okay. No, I need to. So, ladies, with that, if we kind of switch, she looked her eyes because I kind of switched that up a little bit. Because I don't, we're not coming here today to tell you to wake up at 5 a.m. And I just want to make sure that we're clear on that. But we are asking you, we always need to be evaluating our schedule, especially when it comes to making sure you have time in your day to spend time in the Word. Because we already know the why that's important, right? So this is not a burden we're placing on you, but I do want you to think about it. And I don't know if this is a question, but I want you to talk about your schedules with one another. And I hope that's one of the questions. I'm not sure. Might not be. Write it down. Talk about it. Okay. But so are you scrolling on your phone late at night, watching TV? Like, why aren't you waking up early? Why is it that you're fine? Are you, and this is not guilt, no guilt here, right? No condemnation in Christ. Nothing to be ashamed of. We hide when we're ashamed. But are you not able to wake up in the morning and your mornings are chaotic because you've been up late watching TV, up late scrolling on your phone, or my time? Right? We hear that. I need my time. I love nights. I'm a night. I love nights. If I had it my way and I was able to, I've always been a night girl. I love it. Waking up early is super hard. Is it chronic illness that you're not waking up early? Sick babies? Like, those are different circumstances, right? Are you struggling with postpartum depression? That's a different circumstance. Menopause? Most of you aren't in that. Like, I'm talking to a group of young moms, but it's a real thing. I wish I was past it. When does that happen? So, yeah, I don't want to get off track.
Okay, so let's kind of bring it back, because we don't want to be legalistic and we don't want to put a yoke of burden on you young moms. Like, that is not our goal. Our goal is to get you in the Word and be consistent in the Word. But you had some concerns that you wanted to share.
Yeah, the reason we really wanted to take some time on this, we went back and forth. This was a section of our talk where we were going back and forth because it's hard, and everyone's at different seasons. There is a challenge to evaluate, right? My concern is doing counseling women. I would say 99% of the women that I counsel do not have a daily time with the Lord, whether it be morning or during nap time. The consistency in the Word is where is lacking in these women that I'm counseling. And so you can get away with it for a while, but not long. And it starts affecting your life and how you live. So there's a concern that we want to plead with you of as far as making it a priority and figuring it out. And so that's why we wanted to talk about this.
Yeah. And we also, like, we both have women in our, that we have counseled who, their older kids are getting up before them and getting themselves ready. And, which it's okay for your older kids to get themselves ready, but, we talked about you really should be the first one up and get your home ready for those kids to get up. And We have different personalities. I'm an early riser, and Shannon had to train herself. So, you know, it's, and she's a good example that you can train yourself. You can't just say that, oh, I'm a night owl and I can't get up in the morning. You can train yourself, you know. So, and you also had a John Piper quote that you were going to share.
And I just have to address that whole who here, I mean, when Dawn, I didn't know that about Dawn, that she's a early riser. I was a little mad. I'm like, no alarm and you get up that early? What is that? I mean, I'm like, my alarm, I'm like hitting it, you know, still, you know. But anyways, yes, John Piper has this great quote.
Because I'm more spiritual.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about that too. It's true.
It's probably because the Lord's going, you better get out of bed. You need it.
So John Piper has this great quote. Again, maybe I'm pleading a little bit with you that you'll get up early. I earnestly recommend that it be in the early morning. This is Piper, not me. Unless there are some extenuating circumstances. Entering the day without a serious meeting with God over his word and in prayer is like entering the battle without tending to your weapons. The human heart does not replenish itself with sleep. The body does, but not the heart. We replenish our hearts not with sleep, but with the word of God and prayer.
So, and we did talk a little bit about those extenuating circumstances. So, I'm thinking that maybe we're going to go on to disciplining.
Yeah, but we were talking about here, there are legitimate, which we just talked about, there mm-hmm. are legitimate extenuating circumstances. You just had a baby, your baby wakes up at 5. You're not going to get up at 4 to tend to your heart, right? You're going to take care of that when the baby's taking a nap, right? Sometimes though, what we wanted to address here is, in those extenuating circumstances, which we did dress on, right? Chronic illness, sick babies, new seasons of life, those kinds of things. We still have to figure out a rhythm, ladies, right? And so we have to be creative in those seasons and in those times. We need to ask for help. Don't be ashamed. Don't hide. Hiding is not the gospel. Running to the Lord, running to help. Your mentor moms might not remember the day-to-day with a baby, but they remember seasons that were challenging. They might even have challenging seasons themselves that they've had to be creative with their time with the Lord. Ask for help. And there's different ways you can do that. And so we will talk about it.
Yeah, and I would help each other too, like, you know, hey, I haven't had time to have a quiet time. Can you come help? Can you watch my 20 kids and then I'll watch your one? Okay. You watch my 20 kids for 20 minutes and I'll watch your one kid for 1 minute. Yeah.
You need a rhythm of some sort. And seasons are going to change from now until... I had to stay up late with my teenagers and figure out what I was going to do when I was up till midnight talking, because you're not going to say, go to bed, I can't talk right now. Not with your teenagers, right? Even your young adults. So there's always changing seasons. Find a rhythm. When there's no rhythm, it gets forgotten. Don't forget about it. Whenever that time you find is, it's wonderful.
Yeah, and as you're talking, I'm realizing too, don't think, oh, when they're two, then I can have a quiet time, or, you know, that's not going to happen. I can tell you, even, you know, not having anyone in the home, if I don't plan the time that I'm going to be with the Lord, it's not going to happen. So if you do it now, that habit is built for the rest of your life. So...
And the heart behind this really is discipline. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27 says, do you not know, I love this verse, it's so good. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. We must discipline our body and make it our slave. I love sleep. We already discussed that. But I've got to discipline my body and not... John MacArthur has a great sermon on discipline. And he talks about how he always leaves, when he's eating a bowl of ice cream, he'll leave, sometimes he'll leave a little bit behind. And it's to make sure that the lust of his flesh doesn't rule him, but that he rules the lust of his flesh. I would challenge you ladies, like I think about life in those ways. Like, oh my gosh, I love sleep. Or I love entertainment. I love TV. Is that okay to say? Like I love TV. I have to check it often because I'm wasting moments and time by watching ridiculous TV. But I mean, I like it. And so.
But she disciplines herself.
But absolutely, because you have to, like you cannot. And so I love that the thought of the ice cream comes to my mind often. Am I leaving a little behind just to make sure, just to check who's in control here? Is it the spirit in me or is it my flesh and the lust of my flesh, right? We live in an upside down world. We better be disciplined, right?
So do you have any helpful hints for getting yourself up early?
Okay, so I had to do this all by myself because that's when I learned that she doesn't. She gets up on her own. I'm like, okay, well, I don't. So...
Sorry.
I still love you.
I have a curse. We called it the John's curse. My maiden name's John's. We called it the John's curse because all of that side of the family, the grandfather was a farmer, so all those men got up early. And so the cousins, there's a few of us that got the curse. And so when we're all together, they'll be like, I'm not sleeping with her. She has the curse.
And I have the Rivard curse. It's called lazy. Right, Jamie? Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. So these are some helpful hints for me to you. So in 2008 is when I decided I had to start waking up early. And it was hard. I worked nights. I used to wait tables. I worked nights. It was challenging. I didn't work super late. Like I got to bed at 10 or 11. But what I had to do, it starts what I've learned, and I still do this, it starts the night before, right? Mueller says that. Sunday worship starts Saturday night. It's kind of like that, right? So you got to go to bed, ladies. Don't stay up. Put the phone down. Turn off the TV. Go to bed. Your family needs you to go to bed. It's not my time. And that I'm not going to back down on. It's not, we live for Christ, not ourselves, right? Set your clothes out. I put my workout clothes, said I do this. I get up, I go to bed, force myself to go to bed, and I put my workout clothes out. You guys could put, Dawn had a great idea. Just put your kiddos' clothes out too. You're ready, right, the night before. I set my alarm. I used to, when I first started, I had to set my alarm and put it across the room. Right? The night before I still do this, I say to do not hit the snooze button tomorrow. And it starts the night before. Do not allow yourself, when you set that phone across the room, the night before you have to say, Lord, help me. I am committed to not going back to bed. I've heard women tell me that. I'm like, don't, just don't. That is seeing if the lust of your flesh rules out the spirit in you, right? And then set your coffee. Yeah, don't drink coffee. Get your coffee ready the night before so it's ready to go. Do not hit snooze. Do not go back to bed. Have accountability partner. I will be your accountability partner. I get up at 4:30 because I have to. I'm up. If you want help, literally write my number down right now. 951-553-9997. I would love to be your accountability partner.
But make
Isn't
sure.
Isn't that a great phone number?
Okay, so just so that you have to take your, if you have a.
Oh yeah, off snooze or do not disturb.
Do not disturb. Yeah. I put mine on do not disturb at 8:30 and it doesn't go back on till 7. So unless you're one of my kids, I'm not gonna get your message. So sorry. So if you want her to call you or text you at 4:30, make sure you don't have
or notifications. Just get an accountability partner. Okay, it can be me and I would love to help you because I understand the struggle. But ask a friend, do it together. I needed help when I first started.
Are we good?
Where are we on time?
So, I don't know, we're a mess. okay, so we gotta get through the last part. So we have made it clear to you that you need to be in the Word and we've talked about the best time, but let's talk about how we grasp the Word practically.
So I read a book called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. It's an old book, an oldie but a goodie, by Donald Whitney. Excellent book. In that book, he talks about, so it's all about spiritual disciplines. The five spiritual disciplines about grasping the Word is reading, memorizing, meditating, studying, and listening to the Word. Those five disciplines give you a full grasp of the Word. Think about holding the Bible, right? A grasp of the Word. One of my favorite disciplines, okay, when I say favorite, I don't mean I love it like I love spending time with my husband and he's my very favorite person in the world. I don't mean that kind of love, or I love my grandbaby and I can't wait to meet him, that kind of love. Or favorite. When I say favorite, I mean this discipline has been the most impactful in my life. It's the hardest of them all for me. But I value it. That's why I call it my favorite, and it's memorizing the Word. And I would say when you memorize the Word, it actually is the gateway into all the other disciplines.
What do you mean by that? I think she changed her notes last night. It's okay. We're in a podcast just talking to one another.
So
not posting this.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I said it too soon, didn't I?
It's okay.
All right. So you were, oh. So I messed up.
Just move on.
Okay. Well, but I don't want to lose this. So
is there something in there that you feel is really important? Go for it.
Yeah. So what if there, you guys might be going, okay, so I can't memorize. That's what we want to talk about. But I messed up. And I would just tell you and challenge you that memorizing, I have a terrible brain. Before I even went through menopause, my brain, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. And I don't memorize songs. I don't memorize one-liners. I mess up. I love fun jingles, but I jack them up all the time. So if I can memorize, anyone can memorize.
Why would this be good for these young moms memorizing?
Yeah, because I was telling Dawn that, like, I came and talked to you guys about quieting the noise a couple of years ago and is on memorizing. And I was super excited to be able to share that with you guys because now that the discipline of memorizing is part of my life, sometimes more than others, I realized the value of that for young moms. And I was really excited to share that with you ladies. You can take 15 minutes of your day, because I know time is limited when you have littles, 15 minutes and store that in your heart, God's word in your heart, a verse, and you can then take it with you throughout the day. And you have one nugget that you take with you, and you're able to put it on a note card, keep it in your pocket. You can think about it when you're nursing. You can say it out loud to your baby when you're nursing. washing dishes, taking a shower. I actually love to review my verses when I'm in the shower. Driving in the car, waiting in line, those kinds of things. Instead of grabbing your phone and scrolling, you can have it on your screensaver, the verse that you're working on. Have your kids memorize with you for those who have older kiddos. And you can pray it over your baby, like I was saying, while you're nursing. I really think it's one of the best spiritual disciplines for you ladies in this stage of life. And I know that it's hard because of your brain isn't working, but it will help you in that too, right? It helps sharpen your brain when you're working hard, because my brain feels like I just had a baby and I have no brain. And it's good.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks. Okay, so now let's go into how it is the gateway into all the other disciplines. Yeah.
So we have number two is meditating and prayer. Like, we like to put meditating, I feel, as a form of prayer. When you're memorizing the word, unless you're checkboxing it, like, oh, did that, you should be meditating on it throughout the day. And so it's really a gateway right into meditation and prayer. There's nothing better than praying God's word, because we're confident it's his will, right? And so as you're memorizing, meditating comes naturally, flows out of that. And then you listen. So me, when I'm memorizing a verse, I naturally want to know more, because when you're memorizing a verse, words pop out at you that you never knew before. And you can't get confused. You go through this time of like, wow, that's amazing. This is God's very spoken word that I've just stored in my heart. And you're like, oh wait, what does that mean? I don't understand. What is that word? And so I'll listen to sermons that have to do with the message that I'm, or the verse that I'm memorizing. And that's super helpful, which then puts you right into reading. Of course,
okay,
you read
wait.
It.
I want to stop you first.
Oh,
listening.
Yes.
Because so if I'm listening to, I'm just going to Google and just listen to some random.
Yeah, go on YouTube and just put in the verse that you're memorizing, and whatever comes up, listen to it.
Oh, okay.
Just kidding. I'm totally kidding. So it is super important to be careful. Kari was talking about that earlier. Be careful. Our time is short too and limited, but be super careful what you're listening to. There's a lot of platforms out there. There's a Mueller, I think, used the idea, it might have been Plesnik, about you have a pitcher of water and you put just a dabble of baby poop in there. Would you drink it? Is that Mueller? Yeah. So we have to be careful what we're listening to, because that can lead us down roads we don't want. Ask your people. I love, we were talking about this. It was super fun. Morgan Maitland's great to listen to.
Josh Petras. Any on Grace, if you go to Grace Community Church.
Rick Holland,
yeah.
Great listen. MacArthur has basically a sermon on every verse, except she was saying Luke's not very flavored.
Yeah, he doesn't have very many.
Okay. But every verse I've memorized, I've been able to listen to MacArthur, and you can go to Grace and listen to whoever you want. Those are all great people to listen to. Yeah. So
that's good. Okay.
Yeah.
So now go into how it can go into reading.
So reading, you're reading the verses when you're memorizing them, but then also Piper has a really good style. If you're looking for ideas, helpful hints on memorizing, Piper has some great helps on that on YouTube. And what he does, I love his heart in memorizing. What Piper does is he's reading through reading through the Bible in a year, and he comes to a verse that impacts him. He looks for something, one verse that impacts him every day. And he'll write that on a 3x5. He'll take 5 minutes to memorize it. And then he takes it with him through the day. And every day it's a new verse. He doesn't try or fight to keep the verse from the day before. He just wants to be able to carry a nugget with him throughout the day. I think that's a beautiful way of memorizing also, and making sure that you're not walking away from that quiet time without a truth that you're armed with, right? And then we go to studying. Whenever you're memorizing the word, you are asking yourself those questions. Who's talking? What's happening here? What is that word? I mean, I have a old Webster dictionary on my phone.
1829, because it was still biblical. Like most of the definitions in the 1829 dictionary are biblical definitions.
I mean, so I wouldn't like encourage you with exegeting a passage and using just a Webster dictionary, but for me and what I'm looking for, which is just understanding a word, because I'm not, again, like words are, I get confused. And so I'll look it up, a word that's confusing me while I'm meditating and chewing on a verse. I find I'm studying that verse too, right? So
there's also like you can use things online to study light and things that will help you. I know that some of our young moms are part of the Thursday precepts, which is a Zoom. Thursday is a Zoom call, so you can be on there and you can study the word and you know, and even if you don't get your homework done every single day, it's just great to be encouraged to study the word, right? So we need to wrap it up because we are like 5 minutes over already. So let's wrap up with just some really practical stuff. We kind of already talked about how your day worked. Is there anything that you wanted to share with us?
I will be quick. What were you gonna say?
Do you have something you want to share? Some resources? Okay, go for it.
If you are interested in memorizing, I do have some resources here. This one is found online. Piper recommends it. It's really good on it. It gave me the how-tos of memorizing. It's called An Approach to Extended Memorization of Scripture by Dr. Andrew Davis. It's a PDF for free. You print it. Super easy, great resource. If you want to memorize scripture, I don't know if we'll get there. Fight Our Verses by Piper, excellent resource. This is Jamie's. What's her name on it? His Word in My Heart by Janet Pope, excellent resource. Susan Heck, who was hugely instrumental to me in giving me the desire to memorize larger texts. Susan Heck, A Call to Scripture Memory is an excellent resource. And then if anybody's interested, I gave my Whys of Scripture Memory, at a women's event. And so I just have thoughts written out that I'd be happy to share.
Okay. Do you want to touch on abiding with the Lord throughout the day?
Yeah.
So, because we both talked about you can have your time in the Word and then you can walk away and it's gone, like, you know. So we really want to take it with us throughout our day and abide with Him.
And I would say that having set aside time with the Lord has been a little easier for me. Once I got past waking up, I'm a doer and I've had different jobs that kind of are consuming. The job I have now can be very consuming. And so it's been the fight of abiding. Cause you know, in Deuteronomy 6, it talks about throughout the day, right? We're to be thinking on, talking about, and I have a tendency of leaving my time with the Lord and just doing life. I started using so we did want to talk about just a few ideas for you ladies, because I'm sure I'm not the only one that struggles with that. I just started for about over a year now. I've been using the Prayminder app. It's a great app to remind me to pray for people. And I've added in there to recite my verse. You can put in as many reminders that you want, and I have it attached to my watch, which is nice. So it vibrates on my arm and it reminds me, it alerts me to either pray for somebody or it alerts me to recite my verse. You could put in there whatever you want, and I have it from 5 a.m. till 9 p.m. that I'm getting alerts on the hour, and I found it's been helpful. I've struggled with abiding in the Lord all day long. It's been a battle. You can also, if you don't want to get the prayer minder, you can use the reminder on your iPhone. You can use alarms on your phone where you do a vibrate on it where it's not a loud alarm. But I was thinking with you ladies, I wish I would have done this. Like, how great when that alarm goes off, you make it a game and you include your kids in it, right? So, oh, we gotta stop. Oh, who are we praying for? You know, and have kids pray or, oh, we gotta stop. Whatever we're doing. And what's the truth about Jesus that you know? Jesus loves me. Yes. You know, like, so you include the kids in that. You're teaching them to abide so they're not like Mrs. Munoz who is struggling. Like, that's hard. I'm not trained. So you could train your kids to abide, which I just think would be super sweet. If you're memorizing the word, share it with them. Include them. Some of them are old enough to memorize with you. How beautiful is that? Some of them are little enough to listen to you. All of them are, right? You can listen to sermons throughout the day. We talked about that, the importance of quiet, teaching your kids to be quiet and play while there's a sermon in the background. That'll help you through the day, right? That's it. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Okay, so we're going to... did you have any last closing thoughts? Okay, well, thank you for being with us on our first Moms by Grace podcast. Thank you. So, I do have two books that I would just want to share with you really quickly because they're great kids' books and they're super old because they were my dad's, and then they were mine, and then they were my kids. So we did look up to make sure that they were still, that they were not out of print. So it is the Erdermeyer Bible Storybook, and it is the Child's Story Bible by Kathleen Voss, and they both follow scripture almost completely. So you could be like reading, like I'm in Daniel right now, you could be reading Daniel and you can find it in these books and read the same story to your kids that you've read in the morning. So they're great tools. But so can we thank Shannon? And then you guys have, I'm sorry.